Hello, this is Sherry Joy, and I'm here with Julie Fast. How are you, Julie?
I'm fine, thank you. Good morning.
So, and we're just going to talk a little bit about your books, what's kind of going on with you, and your latest travels to California. Wonderful looking in with you. I know that recently you made a trip to California. Tell me about the event that you were a part of. You were like the keynote speaker, is that right?
I was. It was quite spectacular. And, you know, you and I have known each other for quite a few years, and I was not able to travel in the early 2000s. Due to my bipolar disorder, but I use all my techniques, et cetera, I'm back to traveling again. But I have to say, this was the longest business trip I've ever taken where I actually was working every single day. I went to Monterey Bay, California, and Salinas, California, which are in Northern California. So beautiful. I took my mom with me because I either have to have you or my mom or somebody else to go with me when I travel to help out with all, just to keep me stable and help out with books and all the people that I meet. And we actually had dinner one night where we saw two sea lions catch a fish, and we saw some otter and some puffin, the waves, and it was absolutely beautiful. So on that part, it was amazing to just see something as beautiful as what we saw. But I managed to have probably four or five actual panic attacks during the time there. And so what it was I was invited by Monterey County Public Health to come for their mental health week to something called the Fiesta of Hope dinner. And I was to be the keynote speaker. And whenever I do something like this, I always say to them, goodness gracious, don't just have me come as the keynote speaker. You know, let me meet people, go out. And let me tell you, Sherry, they did the most astonishing job. So the people at Monterey Public Health or Mental Health, the wonderful people, worked with a company called Interim. And while I was there, I went to three group homes, in other words, homes where people with mental health disorders live. I did something called the Transitional Youth Program. I got to speak with kids coming out of the foster care system and coming out of the mental health system, moving into adulthood, living on their own, which was by far the most awesome thing to talk with kids in their teens and 20s about mental health. And then I was the keynote speaker for the 200-something person Fiesta of Hope dinner on the third night. So it was spectacular. Yes.
Now, that is a huge event, and I mean, quite an honor for them to, this is one of their big anniversaries too, wasn't it? So that's
it was. It
wanted.
Was the 10th. Yes, the sheriff was there, all kind of politicians. I was up. We'll put pictures up on Facebook. I was in I should remind people, my Facebook account is Julie A. Fast. I'll put pictures up. And I was up on the table, so we had a raised table, so I sat up with all the other people, and I got to see the crowd, and it was just wonderful. And what was great, and I should mention, my first day there, I participated in the Wellness and Recovery Conference, and that's where I met all the kind of people, and I got to see them throughout the week, so that made a big difference. So the conference first, so it was called Embracing Wellness and Recovery, and I was the keynote speaker there in the morning. The breakout group in the afternoon was where I had all my stress, and that's where I had my anxiety, etc. And then from there, I did the other group homes, the meeting with the youth, and then the speaking on Thursday night.
It sounds wonderful. Now, I know that all of your fans follow you. They want to know what's going on. The biggest thing that I hear kind of from your readers, from your fans, is how does Julie do it? So I'd like to ask you just a couple questions, going clear back to when you first actually were invited to this. What are your feelings when I know you've been a keynote speaker and you do these events and you do them locally and then you travel for them as well, but when you first get that call, what are the feelings that you experience, and how do you kind of work through what might be happening for you when you first get that first invitation?
Well, it's changed so much that you've asked that question so well, because when I first started writing my books and started my website in 2002, bipolarhappens.com, I was not really aware that I was going to do this kind of speaking. I had always wanted to be a public speaker, but I never really thought about keynote speaking for mental health organizations, etc. At the beginning, I would just say yes without really thinking about the ramifications of travel, how it would affect my bipolar disorder. Beginning, I always had a great time and I loved the speaking, but I don't know that I prepared well enough. Then I went through that period, you know, starting around 2007, where I was so ill and I couldn't really travel and speak. And so I was more focused on my own health. Now I'm able, when I get one of those emails, and basically what they say is, you know, they'll either write you or, you know, my manager, or I'll get them and they'll say, hey, would you like to fly to Virginia and speak? Would you like to go to Canada? Would you? And I'm always very excited. And then reality hits. And I say to myself, all right, in terms of bipolar disorder, what's the reality of me doing this? And the reason I took the job in California was because it was close to where I live in Portland, Oregon. So the closer I am, the better. I think a lot of people might think, oh gosh, speaking to 300 people at a dinner, that might be what would make me anxious. That was an absolute joy. It was getting the tickets, the plane ride, the bags, the small seats, the anxiety just over where I had to be at what time. That's what keeps me from having a full-time speaking career. It's not the speaking. The speaking I find absolutely wonderful. But like having to sell your books and all of that, that requires a lot of administration skill that I find my bipolar disorder doesn't do well with. So when I get the announcement or the question, hey, do you want to be our keynote? Do you want to come speak at our conference? Do you want to work for NAMI? I'm like, yeah. But I always have to be very careful and go, all right, bipolar first, and then I make my decisions. I turn down a lot more than I take.
Thank you for sharing that. I know that it helps, and I know how well you prepare. I mean, just working with you, I know how much you prepare for these things, not just the event itself, but also to make sure that you are taking care of the bipolar and keeping that in check every step of the way. And I know that every time that you say yes, that you absolutely follow through on everything that you do. So it's amazing to me how well you are able to manage this and not let it control your life to the point that it's debilitating. It's amazing what you've done.
Right.
Now, a couple years ago, I know that you actually went back east and you spoke with Claire Danes before she started doing the work that she did on her wonderful movie that she put out. That was crossing some time zones. And I know that you did a lot of preparation when you cross those time zones, and I know that this would be fantastic help for people that might be vacationing in the summer or might be going for holidays, things like that. Can you just kind of explain what kind of preparation you make specifically for when you're going to cross time zones, and what are those things that you do leading up to that really prepare you and keep the bipolar in check?
That's actually my number one concern, is whether I will have a time change. So many people forget that bipolar disorder is basically a sleep disorder. So whenever we have trouble, we have sleep troubles. So we either sleep troubles trigger our mood swings, or our mood swings cause sleep trouble. So when you're talking about Claire Danes, I actually was staying with my father in Michigan, and I got a call from my agent. I have an agent in New York named Marilyn Allen, who's absolutely wonderful. And Claire Danes was, the actress Claire Danes, was just starting the show Homeland, but it literally had not been filmed yet. So she read Take Charge of Bipolar Disorder and went to Bipolar Happens and read all over my blog. And she asked me to be a consultant on the show. And so she sent a car to Michigan, flew from Michigan to New York, and I met with her. She's absolutely lovely. She looks exactly like she does on TV. Lots of times you meet people and they don't look the same. She looked exactly very petite, beautiful, very natural. But what was interesting, meeting with her was fantastic. And, of course, Homeland has been unbelievably successful. And if you type in Claire Danes, Julie Fast online, you can read some what she said. And also she did a special with the American television show Charlie Rose, where she was on there and she talks about me on that, about our meeting and stuff, as, you know, a brief part of it. Let me tell you, Sherry, going from Portland, Oregon to Michigan and then New York, it was too much for me. Wow. And when I say too much, what too much means is, instead of like, oh, wow, I'm meeting Claire Danes and this is one of the greatest experiences, I've always wanted to, you know, work in movies, this is my chance, I was freaking having to manage the bipolar disorder because I had three different time changes, one and then another. It's so frustrating. But what I do is, if I know that I have a three-hour time change, so let's say that I'm going from Portland, Oregon to New York to speak, I will make the time change a week in advance. And because I don't have a 9-to-5 job, I'm able to do that. So I actually start my time change hour by hour before I travel. Now, not everyone can do that. Even if you do it for one or two nights, it's astonishing. So go to bed at 10 o'clock instead of midnight. And eventually, I'm like going to bed at 8 p.m. because I take my meds to sleep. I go to bed at 8 p.m. and I wake up god-awful early. And let me tell you, there's no place to go in Portland, Oregon at 4 a.m. in the morning. But by the time I reach New York, I don't have jet lag and my bipolar behaves. So what I do is I look at time zones extremely carefully and I switch over here. And then on the way back, I start switching over, which means I get up, stay up later wherever I am coming back to Portland. But that's my number one concern when I travel.
Fantastic. And I know that you do that so well and just are just meticulous in doing that. And I think that will help.
Well, you know, I am meticulous, but I don't want to be. I want to just get on a plane and have fun and go meet Claire Danes and you know, have a life where I don't have to worry about all this stuff. But the reality, just like I realized, you know, when I was recently in California, if I don't take care of this, bipolar is going to take care of me, let me tell you. I don't have a choice. If I wish to travel, be a professional speaker, and be all that I can be when I'm there, I have to manage my sleep, and I have to think about time zones.
Right. And I know that often, you know, you liken it to diabetes. It just is what it is. And, you know, a diabetic doesn't want to think about what they're eating either, think about their blood sugar intake or what. But it is something that they have to be conscious of. And then now you have bipolar. You have
That's
to be
right.
conscious of that.
Bummer.
The questions that you take and always the awareness that you have is amazing. And it just is always very inspiring to me that how conscious you are of that. Because, yes, of course you want to just forget about it and fly to New York and how fun is it?
Party and go to New York and watch it. You know, go to a play. Here's a perfect example. If I'm going to New York to work, I can't go to a play at night because it means I wouldn't be able to get to sleep before midnight, for example. So I have to modify. It's all about modifying, is it? It's about adapting. It's about making choices. I choose work over play when I travel, and that's just how it is.
And I think you choose being healthy over that as well. And I think that makes a huge difference on how you have successfully managed bipolar. Amazing. And the reason that so many look up to you. Now, speaking about all of those people that look up to you, let's talk about those people in California. Tell me a little bit, what did you talk about in California for the different venues?
Well, first of all, I did the Embracing Recovery and Wellness Conference. And I gave a talk that I call White Girl Blues because I'm on the board of directors.
Say that one more time.
Oh, it's a weird title. White Girl Blues. It's a strange talk. I'm on the board of directors for an organization with one of my best friends, Gayatri Ramprasad. The organization is called ASHA International. And if you go to myasha.org, you can read all about it. But our specialty is exploring and promoting mental health awareness within cultures. And I remember I was going to be on a panel and I'm like, wait a minute. Because my friends, you know, they're from India or African-American or Hispanic. And I'm like, I'm white. I don't have any culture. And a friend of mine who's African-American looked at me and she goes, not only do you not have a culture, you have the dominant culture. You need to understand what the white culture means. So White Girl Blues was my keynote at this conference. And it's about how our culture and almost cult of independence within Western Caucasian society negatively affects the way that we manage mental health. In other words, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You can do it. I show images like John Wayne and Sandra Bullock and talk about how we need to modify the white culture and make it more like the family-oriented cultures of India, the Hispanic culture, the cultures in Japan, et cetera. So that's what I did. Then in the afternoon, here's what happened. This is where bipolar, you know, rears its ugly head. I thought I was going to have a breakout session where I would be in a small room with people talking about how I manage anxiety. But instead, I was back up on the stage under a spotlight with like 100 people and expected to give a speech. And I just sort of lost it. I started having a little panic attack. So I decided to incorporate that into my presentation. So I explained, this is what I'm feeling right now. Here's what I'm thinking. Here's how I make it through these kind of speeches. Because normally I'd never tell the audience I was having a panic attack. Of course not. I worked through it. I incorporated that. The next day I went to two group homes put together by this wonderful organization, Interim, who runs a lot of mental health stuff in the Monterey Salinas area. And I got to speak with people. Sherry, I was in a room with people with borderline, schizoaffective disorder, schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, anxiety, PTSD, and we just talked. And I did my specialty I talked about my health cards treatment system and anxiety, and then we just talked. And then sort of by accident, that same day, I got to go to what was called the TAE program, the transitional, which I mentioned earlier, youth program, by far the most exciting thing for me, because it's not easy for us to get, for me especially as a professional speaker and writer, I don't interact a lot with people with mental health disorders except through NAMI support groups. So this was me actually with people who had just gotten out of the hospital or who were in foster homes. Sherry, they asked the most amazing questions. Like one 20-year-old girl asked me, Julie, I can't get my medication straight. I do want to take them. I'm finally willing to take them, but why can't they get meds straight? And I was like, welcome to the world of bipolar disorder, because that's just part of life. But she didn't have anybody to ask that question. And I've been, you know, taking meds off and on since age, 31. And then they asked about psychosis. They asked about the media. They asked about dating. Final day, I went to another group home that morning, did a whole thing on anxiety. My friend Gayathri from Asha just wrote a book on her growing up in India, what it was like for her. And that night was this huge gala, and I was the keynote for that. Those were $3 solid days of work, and then you had 2 days of travel book noting it. It was 5 full days of work. Sherry, I got home, and I was out of it for 2 days. I mean, the adrenaline just dropped, and so I have to plan. I know that now. My body can't handle full-time work like that without having rest time afterwards. Sherry, I got to meet people who had been meth addicts on the street with bipolar disorder, who turned their life around and are now working as peer counselors. I got to see people get awards for having mental health guide dogs. People like Dr. Wayne Clark, just such wonderful, regular people. And that's what kept me going, even though the anxiety was really bad. You can see I get very excited to actually get in there and meet people outside of my writing. It's very fun.
I get so many emails from your fans. I know that you get so many emails from your fans. It's so fun for you to get out there and just actually get to be with them and hear them and interact. I want to make sure that everybody knows how to get to Gayathri's site.
MyAsha.org. And her book is called Shadows in the Sun. It's going to be huge. It was just published here, and this is all on my website. And she's a guest blogger on the BipolarHappens.com blog, coming out from Random House, India in the fall, and she's doing a big tour of India. Can you imagine an Indian woman who came over here in an arranged marriage in the 80s, who suffered, who had ECT, who was in the locked psych ward, who went through so much trauma, who's turned it into an advocacy, to a nonprofit, and she gets sick too. That's one thing, when you say managing bipolar disorder, that's the word. I am not recovered from bipolar disorder, and she still deals with her anxiety and depression. It's just we have turned it into our work because that's what our passion is. But we still get sick. But her book is, I highly recommend it. So it's myasha.org.
How fun that you're just something. I thought about your anxiety speech that you were giving that you thought was a breakout turned into anxiety for you because you kind of were throwing a few curveballs that you didn't know were going to happen. But the fact that you were able to just draw the audience in and kind of tell them exactly what was going on with you right now and that you were actually experiencing anxiety is one of the things that your fans and I absolutely love about you, is that you're so real and that you're willing to share that right when it's happening and say, this is what's going on.
But you have to be careful though, because I know that if I were giving a business, because I'm working on a book on innovation with a friend. And if we were at a conference and I went through that at a business conference, no way I'd ever say a thing. I'd just sweat it out. Right. And no one would ever know. It's always hard. You know, when you're a writer and you're looked up to and you're a speaker, you're like, how much do I share? How much do I let people know of how hard this is for me? Do they want me to be an image where, hey, she's calm, cool, and collected, I want to be like her? Or, oh, there's Julie up on stage sweating just like I would. And then I just had to make the decision. I think it helps people more to know what I go through than to pretend, or it's not that I would pretend, than to not mention that what I go through. So I decided to mention it. And it was not my best, because I'm much better when things are worked out, and my presentation would have been better in terms of the presentation itself. But maybe that's something everybody in that audience will remember the next time they're anxious, which is, you know what, if Julie can go up there and make a fool of herself, I can do it too. And that's what
I'm certain that you did not make a fool of yourself, because I've seen you countless times, and there is always a balance. And even if behind the curtain you tell me you have anxiety and go out in a professional setting and they never know what's going on, or if you do share with your audience what's going on, it's always a perfect balance with you.
It is possible. Thanks, Sherry. Yeah. It's possible. People with anxiety and depression, bipolar, schizophrenia, schizoaffective, borderline, we can learn to work. We just have to have a plan around. We have to be ready for the emotions that this kind of trip bring up. So I actually got slightly manic from it. I was a bit worried that I was going to get depressed. And so once again, typical bipolar, I'm waiting for the depression and I miss a whole day of hypomania. And I'm having thoughts like, oh, life is good. Isn't it rosy? Look how green the trees are. And then I go buy two super expensive tickets to a play that I had been planning to go to, but without thinking enough, I bought these tickets. I've now since made the decision that it was a manic decision, which is hard for me to admit, and I'm going to go get my refund. But that's what made me realize I was manic. I sort of got off the computer and went, oh, Julie, come on. You haven't needed as much sleep. You're feeling joyful, which is normally I feel good. I don't feel joyful. The colors are beautiful, and you just spent a lot of money. And so I admitted it to my mom, which was embarrassing out of my mind. 50 years old, still having to tell my mom that I get manic and what I did. But that's part of my health cards. You know, I have to be honest. So I'm going to go get refunds. I checked this morning. I woke up and went, my God, what have I done? But I checked. I can get refunds. No problem. But I missed hypomania. I've been having it since I was 17. But I guess it's better to have it for a day and then miss it for 3 months.
Right. And that's amazing. And it's amazing how radically honest you can be with yourself, because it's
oh, you
I mean,
have
that changed
to,
my
Sherry.
Life
oh.
too. But
oh.
yeah, especially with someone that the bipolar that you have, being radically honest with yourself is huge.
Well, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to say, no, here you are, you're finally thinking, wow, I made it through. I made it through 5 days of work with all that travel without getting sick. Life is great. And you realize that that actually is hypomania.
Yeah.
And you're like, phooey. So you just face it, which means, you know, what goes up must come down. I have to be careful, which means I have to take the dreaded, you know what, my lithium, which is not my favorite thing in the world, but I will take it because I prefer to stay stable. Well, actually, I prefer to be euphoric mania all the time, but we don't get that option, do we? I made sure I got plenty of sleep last night. I took my lithium. I have to deal with it, but I still get embarrassed. I'm 50, but age, bipolar doesn't care.